Thank you, Brock, for doing that. Appreciate that. Again, I will just carry on a little bit from what my wife said and sharing and thanking you for your prayers and for your gifts of money and gift cards that you gave, and then also for the banner. That meant a lot. I want you to know that. I don't feel like we are worthy of any of this, but we do accept it as a gift from you, and we do appreciate it so much. After about almost 10,000 miles of traveling in the last 5.5 weeks, and I really didn't think too much about it until Brock just shared what he did about the other evening and how quickly things could have changed. But we traveled all those miles, and I don't know that there was any incident that was real close to an accident that I can remember. And so what a blessing from God that is, that, you know, we should think about. I should think about that once in a while, a little more than I do. And but anyway, I want to thank God for that as well. And you don't have to travel all those miles to see a lot of God's creation and to see what God created and his display of his handiwork. But there is so much more out there outside of South Carolina to see that is different. And I would encourage everyone, if you've never been to some of these places, that I hope that all of you can go and see that sometime. After you've seen it, but every park or everything you went to see is unique in its own way. It has a character that something else doesn't quite have. And that is so unique. And so you just go from one place to the other and you're just sort of in awe of really what's out there. And the world is pretty big. I told somebody we were around the world, and they reminded us that we were just within the United States. But it's pretty big, even at that. And there's just miles and miles of vast of desert, of nothing. And I've told people that if you're worried about overcrowding and overpopulation, there's plenty of space in the West. How you would live, I don't know. That would be the problem. But anyway, and as I looked at this, and as we viewed these different things of creation, and as I said earlier, you know, everywhere you go, when there's a reading or there's plaques that you can read of what happened, what their idea is of what happened. There are others where you would take a tour and people would speak. And they all talked in the area of millions and billions of years. And I thought, man, it was sort of disappointing. I guess I expected that. But just to hear it over and over, and it's like, where's God in all this? Don't they understand that God made this? It didn't just happen. I can understand some of the reasoning, I believe, is I could go along with and I could agree on how things happened and formed over a period of time, but their timeline is way off, according to my Bible. And so, just in viewing that, my mind went to the song, "How Great Thou Art." O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder, I consider all the worlds that your hands have made. And we're just seeing a little portion of it. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, your power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great you are, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. The writer of the Psalms, I believe he also sensed that as David looked out and saw the greatness of God and understood that. In Psalm 19:1, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." And then also in Psalm 95, 1 through 7. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his and he made it. His hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, he goes on to say, harden not your heart. And there are many other scriptures. Again, in Psalm 96, 4 through 6. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. So as we looked at these things, that's where my mind went and what I thought about. I thought about the Creator God and what he did and the way he did those things. And some of the things, I wonder what some of these, the different formations that were in different places, I wonder what they looked like 100 years ago, because I know there is deterioration, there is erosion, and so on that happens. And I wonder what they'll look like in 50 years from now, even, as time goes on. But I can't tell you in words, and I can't describe. You have to see it for yourself. So I'm saying you need to go. You need to plan that sometime. Families, I know with young children, it's not cheap, and it's not maybe doable as easy. But sometime in your life, you need to go. I really think so. Well, that wasn't the sermon for today. That was just a start. You can turn your Bibles to Matthew 18, and I'm going to talk out of a portion of that. Matthew 18, and we'll start with verse 21 through the end. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out, and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence, and he laid hands on him, and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison, till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. I was reminded of this, and I've simply titled it Forgiveness, of the need of forgiveness and how important forgiveness is in our lives. We met a number of folks and families that were dealing with real heartache and pain in their families because of unforgiveness that was in the family. And how, and I was just, again, it's how devastating and how hurtful that is, and how it tears relationships apart, and how difficult it is to live with that and to try to deal with that. And so I decided to talk about that as well. I don't know if anyone here has a problem with forgiveness, but I know that it's something that every one of us deal with from time to time, and probably oftener than we realize. Maybe it's even daily that I have to forgive someone. Just as was mentioned, someone pulling out in front of you. You have to forgive that person. You don't have to, but it's better if you do, for you and for everyone else as well. We that are married, sometimes, not sometimes, but we have to forgive our partners. There are things that come up that we have to forgive. If we don't, we are miserable. And if we're miserable, everybody else is miserable. And so the best thing is to forgive. The dictionary says to forgive is to give up resentment against or the desire to punish. It is to pardon. It's not that easy. Sometimes it's not that easy. It depends on the situation, I realize. Some things are easy to forgive. It's not a problem. Other things, depending on how deeply you were hurt, it's difficult to forgive. It takes time sometimes to forgive. But if we don't, we rob ourselves of so many things, including physical health. I'm going to read some things that I found. It's not original with me. I found it in the Vines Dictionary, and I liked the way that they explain some of this. And this goes back to where forgiveness started. And it was back in the Old Testament. It talks about forgiveness. And they say the first biblical occurrence is in Moses' prayer of intercession on behalf of the Israelites. And that's in Exodus 34:9. I'm not going to turn to that. But in the King James Version, it uses the word pardon. And quite often it does that. But how that Moses interceded on behalf of the children of Israel because God was ready to just wipe them out. He's had enough of it. They have rebelled constantly and turned their backs and done and did everything except what God wanted them to do. But Moses prayed and interceded, and God answered and forgave them and pardoned them. In the Old Testament, sacrifices foreshadowed the accomplished work of Jesus Christ. And the Old Testament believer was assured of forgiveness based on sacrifice. And the priest shall make an atonement for all the congregation of the children of Israel, and it shall be forgiven them. That's in Numbers 15:25-28, and Leviticus 4:26 as well. And I often wondered about, how did the people of the Old Testament, how did they receive forgiveness? Were they saved? Will they be in heaven? Will they be, how did this work? And I believe this helped me in my understanding, and I believe that they will be, because it was counted them for righteousness as Abraham's faith. And I think in the next or two lessons, I think our Sunday school lesson will talk about that, where Noah and Enoch walked with God. They were considered righteous. And so how did this work? Well, God set up a pattern and a plan, even back dealing with the children of Israel, in what they could do to receive forgiveness for their sin. Forgiveness always, it starts with God, because it's we as people are sinful by nature. And you know, as good as we think we are and as good as we try to be, we can't be good enough. We need to have some means of, because God is righteous, God is holy, sin cannot enter into his presence. And so there has to be some other way. And so God designed this through the sacrifice. And I'm so glad that we don't have to do that today. I can just picture that as being a very bloody mess, doing all these different sacrifices that God required of them to do to gain forgiveness and pardon for their sin. The mediators of the atonement were the priest who offered the sacrifice. The sacrifice was ordained by God to promise ultimate forgiveness in God's sacrifice of his own son. Moreover, sacrifice was appropriately connected to atonement, as there is no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. And Leviticus 4:20 and Hebrews 9:22 talks about that. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission. And so I also looked up the word atonement, and that's the redeeming of mankind through Jesus' death. And to redeem is simply to get or to buy back, to recover, to set free, to rescue, to deliver from sin, to atone. So out of his grace, God alone forgives sin. God made Adam and Eve in the garden for fellowship and to someone he could talk to and commune with and walk with and help. The animal world was not able to communicate that way with God, but God made us, as was brought out in our class, about in his image. And so man was able to, and God desired that fellowship with them. But when they sinned, that fellowship was broken. And then from then on, so God designed from the beginning what he would do. He knew this was going to happen. And so he set up this sacrificial way of doing things that they had to do. Now today we say our salvation isn't by works, and we believe that. It is by grace that we are saved. And so they had a lot of works to do, but it was through the blood that was shed from these innocent animals that died in behalf of. And they paid the penalty for their sin. God looked past their sin. He pardoned them. And so I believe that they could be accepted into the kingdom of God. I believe that because of their obedience to what God required. Again, in Psalm 25, verse 11, David makes an appeal to God. And he said, "For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great." He realized the sin that he had been involved in, and how great it was, and how great a transgression that was against God, the Creator, and how that sin separates from God when we do that. And so God was willing to forgive him. And in Psalm 103, 2 and 3, he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." God praised, David praised God for the assurance of forgiveness of sins. And how freeing it is when you know you've been forgiven by God and from others. If you did something against someone and you go to them and you say, "Please forgive me, I did this, I know it was wrong, I shouldn't have done it, I hurt you, please forgive me." And when they say, "I will," it's like a load comes off your shoulders. It's a freeing of your spirit. And then Jesus has some words to say as well in what we read here in Matthew 18. But I'm going to go to Matthew 6:12 first, and he says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." Jesus, in doing the Lord's Prayer, pretty easy to understand. And then in Matthew 6:14 and 15, he says, "For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." That's pretty heavy. What if I choose to carry this grudge? And what if I choose to carry this unforgiveness all my life? But in our day and age, we have a way of somehow we can come up with something. Surely God's not going to cast me into hell, my soul into hell, because I didn't forgive someone. Surely there's another way. Surely there's, I can find something in the Bible that will justify where I'm at. But no, we can't get around it. If I don't forgive you when you have done wrong against me, then God in heaven can't forgive me. That's heavy. Verse 35 in chapter 18, he says, "So likewise, just as this person that had a great debt was forgiven, then this other person that had a small debt, this other person wouldn't forgive him." Jesus says, "So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses." Brothers and sisters, it's not if, but it's when. We face these things in our lives, and we need to forgive. And I'm not talking about the times when, such as children, when they do things wrong, and we as parents, we have to teach them and train them and help them. I don't think that's another subject. And it also, if you back up in chapter 18, starting with verse 15, it talks about church discipline. There are times when there's actions that are involved that have to be a part of being forgiven or displaying being sorry to be forgiven. Now, I know I'm confusing that, and I don't want to do that, because there should be no strings attached. If I ask you to forgive me, or you ask me to forgive you, I should forgive you with no strings attached. But what I'm trying to say, that it's not just, we don't just get walked over and pushed over. Life is, I am responsible for the things I do, and so I can't just keep on doing the things I keep that offend you or hurt you and expect you to constantly forgive me and forgive me. No, there needs to be there's a change that takes place, and it should. If we do not forgive, resentment builds up within us. And I have four things that came to mind that really affect us if we choose not to forgive. We have a desire to punish. If you go back to the definition of forgiveness, it's to give up resentment against, or the desire to punish. If I truly forgive, then I don't have that desire to punish anymore. But something that I've noticed through some of these situations that we were made aware of in our travels, and this thing of being unwilling to forgive, stemmed back to this thing of control. It was a way of controlling this person of what they wanted. And I thought of that. You know, if I have a problem with wanting to be in control and control everything, could it be that there is a root somewhere in my life. Doesn't have to be, but it could be. Maybe I'm not willing to forgive somewhere down the road or back in my past. And so I display that through trying to control everything and to controlling people. Just a thought. The second one, we become miserable and make others miserable as well. It's funny how some of these things in our spiritual lives, how they work in us and how they cause us to act and to react. And then how that reaches out to other people and how other people see us. Sometimes we think, oh, people probably think well of us and so on. But maybe it's totally the opposite. I hope it's not, but maybe that is. Maybe I see myself differently than what you see me. Number three, it destroys relationships. Unforgiveness. It destroys relationships. It causes hurts. It causes contention. You know, all of us have probably been hurt in a sense, in a way. Maybe in a great way. We've all had relationships that have been strained, or I'm assuming. I shouldn't say all, but probably most of us have in some time or other. Whether it's family, it's in church, or whatever it is. It's in business. And it causes tension. It causes contention. And then the fourth one, it affects, and it can and it will affect us physically if we choose to be unforgiving. Because I forgive a person doesn't necessarily change that person, but it changes me. It releases Mike. If I've done my part, then it frees me to be who I am and to be able to move on and to have peace within myself and able to be the person that God intended for me to be. You know, there's always these thoughts within us, and it's this worry, and it's this constant. I know I felt it, and I don't know how you sense it at times, but it's just like my whole insides tightens up, and it's just like it cramps, and it's just not a good feeling. And so I can just imagine if I lived with that all the time, what would I be like? How long would I live? How would it affect me physically? I'm sure it would, and I'm sure it does. In Psalm 51:3, David said, "My sin is ever before me." You know, if there's sin in my life, I know it most of the time. Sometimes we make the expression like we're not sure, and that can be. Sometimes we can offend someone not meaning to and didn't sense that it did offend someone, but it did. I'm not talking about that. But when I have sin in my life, the conscience that God placed in me, and that's a part of my spirit, I believe, that I know. Because His Spirit communicates with my spirit. And then I know. And I know if there's sin, then I know pretty much what I need to do. I don't want to do it always, but I have to do it if I want peace. And I want to receive forgiveness. So in ending, in the closing, if I expect to be forgiven, I must extend forgiveness also. You know, as I said, I don't know that there's a problem here, but I know that we are people, and people are pretty much alike all over the world, all over the country. People have the need for relationship, and they desire that, and to be at peace with their fellow person and with themselves and with God. There is that desire, even though people don't recognize God in the picture. But they find some other way to try to find that peace, where it isn't really peace. But if I expect God to extend forgiveness for my sin, then I have to, with an open hand, extend that to my fellow person as well. May God bless each of us as we go through life and as we experience that in our lives. We have a closing song. I told Brian, and did you find it?
635
in Faith and Praise. Okay, 635 in the Faith and Praise. You can stand when you find that, and we'll sing. Thank you, Father, again for today. Thank you for the beauty of the day. Thank you for health and for strength. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your word and for your spirit. Thank you, God, that we can be your children. I pray that you would bless each person that is here today. May you direct our lives. May you guide us. And God, may you help us in whatever our struggles are, whatever our issues are, whatever it is that we face. May you help us, God, to be willing to forgive those that would sin against us. Help us, God, to be sensitive to your spirit and to be open and willing to follow and obey. Thank you again for all that you do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.